Welcome, everyone. It's Eagles 360 on this Thursday. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Macnow. Got a great show for you today. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, in studio. We've got Glenn's bold predictions, and three of them are quite bold. Congratulations. We are.
I'm glad you agree. Yeah. They're bold.
We don't think they're right.
At least two of the three will be correct.
We are monitoring, of course, the injury situation on Thursday. Sam Bradford still not practicing, nor is Ryan Matthews and Jason Peters. Glenn, your thoughts on the Eagles offense potentially without those three?
I think it makes it really tough. I think you can get by short term without Ryan Matthews because you do have depth at running back. I think we saw how much they missed Jason Peters last week, and so that's going to remain problematic. Dennis Kelly's going to have to do a job out there, and Tampa Bay's going to know if Dennis Kelly is playing, and they're going to scheme that way.
And you wonder if it is Dennis Kelly and Lane Johnson on the left side, will the Eagles give the tackles a lot of help? Will they max protect? Will they change things up?
Well, I thought they were going to do that last week. The thing that happened last week, though, is the tight ends were so open. I think because Grimes didn't play, who was going to be the Dolphins' defensive back, focusing on the tight ends, so they kept finding Brent Celek for 30, 40 yards, and Zach Ertz caught eight passes. But you're going to have to do that. Tampa Bay has a good front seven. You're going to have to help your quarterback.
Big game, big challenge on Sunday. Let's get you caught up with everything that is going on at the NovaCare Complex on this Thursday. It's our Eagles 360 update. We throw it out to the training field.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and this is your 360 update. The rainy weather here at the NovaCare Complex forced the Eagles inside the bubble for today's training session. And before practice began, we heard from Eagles head coach Chip Kelly, who gave an injury update on Sam Bradford and spoke about how backup quarterback Mark Sanchez will be ready to go if called upon.
Sam is not lifting. He's not doing anything right now. He's just in meetings. I think in this league, quarterbacks know, at least here they know, and then they should know that you have an opportunity to play every single week, you know, in that position, because of the injury rate with quarterbacks in the National Football League. So you have to prepare like you're the starter. You know, that's one thing about Mark, his work ethic. He's in this building very late every night. He works extremely hard on the game plan. He prepares himself like he's going to be the starter, whether he's named the starter going into that game or it occurs in the first quarter, second quarter, or third quarter. When he goes in there, he has to be able to function in our offense. You know, so we don't have to say, hey, we have to throw this whole chunk of offense out. We just only can go with this small portion of it. We're allowed to run, because of Mark's understanding what we're doing, we can run everything that we have in our game plan that week. So,
meanwhile, inside the Eagles locker room, we heard from running back DeMarco Murray, who spoke about working out the kinks with Mark Sanchez when it comes to running the read option.
I think, you know, obviously not working with each other throughout the course of the year and then working with Sam and not necessarily reading it, you know, and Mark coming in more of a runner. So we got it fixed this week, so shouldn't be a problem going forward.
On the defensive side of the ball, we heard from linebacker Connor Barwin and safety Walter Thurmond on facing off against number one overall pick, Jameis Winston.
I wouldn't put all rookie quarterbacks in the same box, you know what I mean? And he's the number one pick that is growing quickly. And playing better and better every week. So I don't really view him as, you know, your typical rookie quarterback anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a Big Ben, you know. I mean, he's looking more to still throw the ball downfield as opposed to running, you know. So, I mean, it's one of those things where when he is in a position to where he has to run, he'll run the ball, especially in the red zone, you know, to where plays break down. And he is pretty elusive, and he's a big body to take down. And also a guy who's very has great balance, you know, in the pocket when he has those guys around him. And
as previously mentioned, quarterback Sam Bradford still has not passed through the league's concussion protocol. And for all the rest of the Eagles injury updates, be sure to stay tuned to PhiladelphiaEagles.com for all the latest news.
Thanks so much, Alex. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk with the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, who reminds us of a very important event that happened 37 years ago. But when we return to Eagles 360, Glenn and I are going to take a break from Eagles in Tampa Bay and talk about something that we think will make you smile. The five most exciting players in the last 25 years of Eagles football.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
You step to Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I step to Philly.
The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall. FTC.
Delco. Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I step to Philly.
Anywhere.
I've just arrived in Atlanta, and I can't wait to start telling people how switching to GEICO could save them hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But first, my luggage. Ah, there it is. Excuse me, sir, I think you've got the wrong bag.
Sorry, they all look alike, you know.
No worries. Mm-hmm. Well, car's here. I can't save people money chatting at the baggage claim all day.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I got tickets, Metro tickets.
You need a Metro ticket. Talk to me, please.
How do I even know these are real tickets?
You just touch it.
How do I know they're legit?
Is this leather legit? I mean, how do we really know? It looks good, right?
Is the Metro paying you to do this?
No, I'm paying myself. I gotta make profit.
That makes more sense.
Does the baby need a Metro ticket? I'll give her one on me. These tickets, they're not stealing your soul. You can look at them. Man, nobody wants to buy tickets from a guy on the street. I don't understand.
We are talking about the five most exciting Eagles, according to Glenn, in the last 25 years. He's got the names. I've got the reaction.
Yes, I want to tee this up so that you can shoot it down. That's always fun. Here's the runners-up, Dave Spadaro. Okay. Eric Allen, Terrell Owens, Seth Joyner, Mike Vick, LeSean McCoy, Brian Mitchell, Darren Sproles.
All right.
Apologies to Mike Quick. He just fell out of the 25 years.
Has it been that long since Mike Quick played over?
Yeah, 1990. Yeah. And at number six, Brian Dawkins, who you figure has to be on the list.
This must be one heck of a list.
It's one heck of a list. Here you go. At number five is Donovan McNabb, right? Remember the spin move that he would get around and he would jump over people? He was more exciting early in his career when he was more liable to run. Yeah, but, I'm not.
Why do you think he stopped running, Glenn?
I think he stopped running for two things. I think one was self-preservation, and two, I really don't have a lot of doubt that he did not like the image. He didn't want to fall into the image of a black quarterback who just ran it, and I really do think that was part of
the stigma of being called the scrambling quarterback.
Yeah.
He wanted to be known as a quarterback who could also run.
Right. Most exciting play ever for him?
Well, the move against Mark Carrier early in the Redskins.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Going down the sidelines, I would tell you the 14 seconds of time he bought in the backfield.
All right, now you're going to take every single one.
Dallas Cowboys.
I asked you one. I was going to give the other. Yes, right, that's a good one, too, in fourth and 26. Yes. All right, here you go. At number four.
We just shoo off fourth and 26 like it's nothing.
Oh, it was something. At number four, Reggie White, the most exciting defensive player I've ever seen in on the Eagles, because your eye would be drawn to him when he was on the field, and he would toss guys aside like they were rag dolls, and he would bull rush, and he would speed rush. He did everything. He was a dynamic, exciting player.
With apologies to Keith Millard and Bruce Walker, I think you're probably right.
Wow. Yeah, Bruce Walker. And the all-time play for him was that 70-yard. He strip sacks Doug Williams and just picks up the ball and runs 70 yards with it. That was a great one.
One playoff game he won was against, as a Philadelphia Eagle, was against?
Saints, right?
Right.
Yeah,
I remember
that one.
Very good job.
Co-tight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, number three, DeSean Jackson. Yeah, I mean, the punt return against the Giants, Miracle of the Meadowlands 3, that was 3, right?
Sure.
3, was named the most exciting play in the history of the NFL. I don't know if it is, but it's certainly up there. And he was a guy that just, he could beat you on speed, he could beat you on moves, he could fall into the end zone. Everything he did was exciting. Sometimes infuriating, but always exciting.
And when he scored that touchdown against the New York Giants, we jumped in the press box. We literally, blood was drawn from people throwing their fists in the Eagles' small section. And when Jordan Matthews scored a couple of weeks ago against the Dallas Cowboys, it brought back memories of the DeSean Jackson touchdown. Much more muted celebration. No blood on this one. DeSean Jackson deserves to be on the list because he drew blood.
The other image of him that I always loved was him chest bumping Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That was always a fun one to watch. All right, number two, Brian Westbrook, right? I mean, I got to tell you,
The best play he ever made.
Is the punt return against the Giants.
One of them. But the punt, the screen pass in Tampa Bay, regular season game, the Eagles lost on a Matt Bryant field goal when Westbrook took a screen pass and danced his way down the field for, I think, a 62-yard touchdown. Absolute vintage Brian Westbrook. Hands, moves, vision, burst, some power. Brian Westbrook did it all and played with the chip on his shoulder. Just a tremendous football player who is now a Hall of Fame member of the Eagles.
One more Brian Westbrook play. 2007 against the Cowboys. Eagles are up. They have the ball at the Dallas 25-yard line. He bursts through, gets to the one, and stops. It was the smart football move.
That's right.
Fantasy owners were cursing him around the country, but in football moves, it was a great
move. I'm with you.
All right, number one. Well, this is easy. It's Randall. Randall is the most exciting football player I have ever seen on any team. The scrambling, the moves, the arm, everything Randall did in his entire career was a highlight film. He could sometimes infuriate you, but man, when he did the pass to Jimmy Giles against Tampa, against the Giants. Jimmy Giles used to play in Tampa. Against the Giants, the 95-yard duck under Bruce Smith and throw against Buffalo.
More importantly, from your talk radio background.
Yes.
Randall Cunningham, the number one lightning rod in of all-time Eagles.
Second to T.O. But T.O. was short-term.
Yeah.
Randall was long-term. And one more highlight of his that I'll never forget.
Bruce Smith?
I couldn't believe it. No, I gave you that one.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it. The guy punted the ball 91 yards.
Yeah. A lot of wind at Giants Stadium that day, but still remarkable.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So that's the top five. Dave, this is the time for you to endorse the list and say it was perfect.
It is a great list. I'll tell you, though, Michael Vick, really not that far off. But
no, he was on my...
But a great list and all deserving the five most exciting Philadelphia Eagles.
Dunkin's new sweet black pepper bacon sandwich with double the slices of caramelized crispy pepper bacon. It's the bacon experience you've been waiting for. Bacon up. America runs on Dunkin'.
You need more chips? Fellas?
I'm sorry.
We were daydreaming.
About that VIP tailgate and game tickets?
Yeah.
That pregame sideline experience.
Exactly.
Or even Eagles season tickets.
How do you know?
We both have the new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Yeah, the Eagles instant game with top prizes of 50 grand.
And second chance prizes, including season tickets.
The Pennsylvania Lottery. Bring your dreams to life.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
Pair small fries with your favorite for $2.50 on the break menu at McDonald's.
Try a one-week fantasy football league on FanDuel today, home to more winners than any other site. Go to FanDuel.com for your free account now. Time now for Glenn Mack now to give us some bold predictions. The Mac Man, Mick Mackaman, Mick Glenbo.
Thank you, Jody Mack.
Well, there you go.
Nice to see you again. It always was.
Time's yours, Andy Reid.
Here you go. Here you go. Number one, coming off a really poor game in which he was rusty, D'Amico Ryans is going to have a big week this week. He's going to lead the Eagles in tackles. And Dave Spadaro, he's going to have one of these above. I see it. Either a sack, a forced fumble, or at least he doesn't have a tackle for a loss this year. He's going to have that. I think he matches up against the muscle hamster than he did against Miami's quicker running backs. I think it's going to be a good game for D'Amico Ryans.
You're smelling, Glenn, a takeaway, something the Eagles didn't do last week against
that?
Miami. And that was really, that really came back to haunt this
sure
team.
Sure it did, because they had been doing it all year.
Yep.
Miami punted seven of its last nine possessions, and yet they win the thing.
Yep.
That makes no sense. All right, here you go. Number two, you are going to be remembering and cursing the name Kwon Alexander. Who is he?
Right.
He is a rookie. He was their fourth-round pick. He's kind of their Jordan Hicks. Fourth-round pick, middle linebacker for them. He's got two interceptions. He's got a couple of sacks this year. He's coming on really nicely. They see him as a big part of the future. 21 years old. Now, here's the one thing I would say. He's only 6'1½", 227 pounds. So if you can put a body on him, I think you can be effective against him, but I think that's going to be the name that everybody's going to go, who the heck was that and how did he hurt us?
And that body would be Jason Kelce, who has been really hard on himself this week. What's interesting about Tampa Bay is they're just so young. They're very, very talented. The quarterback, Jameis Winston, a rookie. They've got two offensive linemen who are rookies, Kwon Alexander, a rookie. They're getting excellent mileage from their draft class. That certainly helps when you draft number one overall. But Jason Light and his crew down there rebuilding on the run with Lovie Smith and doing a nice job.
Nice job.
And Quan Alexander is somebody who's really fast to the football. Be a good match against Kelsey's agility.
Looking forward to it. All right, here you go. Number three, the Eagles will have at least 30 first downs this game. Now, they had 29 last week, so maybe this isn't as bold. They had, I think, 34 against New Orleans earlier in the season. But here's what I think. I think with Mark Sanchez, the offense is going to move fast. We saw that when he came in. I think it's going to move well. The problems, of course, are turnovers and critical turnovers. But I do think the Eagles are going to move the ball well at least 30 first downs.
Okay, give me points then. How many points? First 20, downs.
I know.
Offensive points.
I know. 20, offensive points, 21.
21 points.
21 offensive points.
21 offensive. Ooh, D'Amico Ryan's.
Maybe. Okay. I'll give you 28 points for the Eagles.
All right, we've got two more predictions coming from Glenn and our kickoff show that airs at noon on Sunday right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure you're with us every step of the way as the Eagles get ready for Tampa Bay, and we're getting ready for the voice of the Eagles. He's in studio next, Merrill Reese on Eagles 360.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Carbs to compete. Electrolytes to replenish. Everything you need to keep sweating.
What makes a temple owl? Meet Stella. She's wise, fierce, and she's not alone. Temple University, where owls call home. We are the cherry and white. The city is our classroom, and we lead the rush hour, making our mark on every field around the world. A world without Temple, well, that's like the sky without the North Star. Temple, never stopping.
Be the playmaker in Madden 16, available now. It's Thursday, November 19th, and somehow, somewhere, some way, for the man next to me, that has significance. We welcome into the studio and Eagles 360, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese.
I didn't know anything about it, actually, but one of our viewers called me before I came in, and he said, "Do you know what today is?" And I said, "It's Thursday, the 19th of November." He said, "Yes, the 37th anniversary of the Miracle of the Meadowlands."
Ah.
November 19th, 1978, when Herman Edwards scooped up that ball.
Well, the Eagles could use some good luck here for this weekend. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town, Merrill, and all signs appear to be pointing in the direction of Mark Sanchez as the starting quarterback. Nothing official, of course. Your thoughts on Sanchez? Should he be the starter on Sunday?
Well, I like Mark Sanchez. I think that Mark Sanchez is a good quarterback. I think he's very athletic. I think he has a stronger arm than people give him credit for. When he came here initially, he was coming off of shoulder surgery, but I've watched him throughout the summer. I watch him at practice, and he throws with a lot of velocity.
And that's, everybody agrees. And as you know, the big question with Mark is the turnovers, the giveaways, crucial times. And you've been around Merrill's, you've seen a bunch of quarterbacks, you've seen the good ones, you've seen the not so good ones. What does Mark Sanchez do the next time he's in the red zone and a pass play is called?
Well, let's hope he hits a receiver in the hands and they score a touchdown. Now, it's not just Mark Sanchez, and I'm not telling you that Mark Sanchez is Tom Brady, but there's a little bit of luck involved in these things, too. I saw Tom Brady last week against the Giants, and he's driving the Patriots down in the red zone, and he throws a terrible interception at the goal line. The difference is, with Mark Sanchez, the game is over. They don't score in the next drive, but Tom Brady gets one more shot after the Giants misuse the clock, and he marches them down and then throws an interception to the Giants that they drop when they come down, and he has another chance. So, again, I'm not saying that Tom Brady's one of the two or three best quarterbacks who ever laced it up, But I think that Mark Sanchez can do the job, and I have a lot of confidence in
him. It is something, though, that has been recurring with Mark. And I wonder, do coaches change things up, do you think, Merrill? Like, when Chip is in that situation again, and he will be in the situation again potentially on Sunday or Thursday against Detroit, if Sam can't go, do you think Chip calls a pass play in that situation?
I don't know that he doesn't call a pass play in that situation, but maybe it's a lower-risk pass play. Maybe you don't throw the ball over the middle, for example. Throw a pylon-type pattern where it's either Jordan Matthews or nobody. But I don't know. I'm not game planning for Chip or anybody else, but I do know that there are certain things where you can minimize the risk with the individual play that you call.
Merrill, it's certainly it's surprising, unsettling, disappointing, whatever word you want to use, to be 4-5. Lots of season to go, of course. Why are the Eagles 4-5? What has not gone the way you thought it would go at the beginning of the season?
A lot of things. They didn't gel. It took more time. There were a lot of new people on this team. Sam Bradford. I thought that when Sam Bradford went out, I thought he was playing at a very high level. And he played an excellent game in Dallas. And I thought, and Dick Vermeil watched it, and he agreed that Sam Bradford actually played pretty well in Carolina. Sam Bradford has been improving very, very steadily. I think that maybe we all expected to see Sam Bradford play as he played in the preseason game at Green Bay, not realizing at the time that, number one, Green Bay is a terrible defensive team, and number two, there was no game planning for Sam Bradford. But here's a guy who hadn't played in a year and a half, and he's with a new team and a new offense. It takes time for him to gel. And defensively, there were some breakdowns. The wide receivers had a collective epidemic of the drops. And these are things you have to fight your way through.
Your thoughts on Eagles-Tampa Bay on Sunday, Merrill? How do the Eagles win this game?
Number one, it's a critical game. Again, I only use the word must when we talk about mathematics. But it is a critical game. You don't want to see this team fall back-to-back to Miami and then to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a better team than the Miami Dolphins. They've got some tremendous wide receivers. Number 13, Mike Evans. He really made Johnny Football. I've never been a Johnny Manziel fan, but I think that he benefited greatly at Texas A&M by having this big wide receiver with great hands who could leap through the sky. They've got to find a way to minimize his effect. That's very important. Number two, they've got to put a lot of pressure on Jameis Winston. A great talent, but still a rookie, and a rookie that you can get to who threw two picks in Dallas.
You know, it's amazing. We all thought if the Eagles got off to a good start against Miami, that would be enough to beat the Dolphins, but you've got to play four quarters. And we are waiting for that four-quarter performance from this football team.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else, when they were up 16-3, I thought, boy, how badly can they beat this team? But that was it. That was it. If you told me that after that first quarter they would score only 3 points the rest of the way, I would say that's impossible. Yep. Impossible. Yep. But we saw it. So they've got to be better. And frankly, Dave, the offensive line, with or without Jason Peters, has to play better than they played against Miami. And Ndamukong Suh had a field day getting to the quarterback. And you're getting another tough defensive tackle. Interestingly enough, in 2010, Sam Bradford was the first overall pick in the draft, and then two plays later, his teammate in Oklahoma, Gerald McCoy, came along, and he is a handful. They have got to account for Gerald McCoy.
This Eagles season, really, these next two games, Merrill, really holds such a key. Still in the mix in the NFC East. You beat Tampa Bay, you beat Detroit. Oh, boy, it looks a lot better.
Well, I'm not up to Detroit right now.
I know.
I know. I'll be the coach and say that we take them one game at a time, and they must beat Tampa Bay. They have to beat Tampa Bay.
And we will use the omen, the very good one of 37 years ago, the miracle of the Meadowlands happened, the Eagles getting some good fortune then. Hopefully some good fortune comes the team's way.
And hopefully it doesn't take a miracle.
That's exactly. Merrill Reese, thanks so much for joining us here on Eagles 360.
Pair small fries with your favorite for $2.50 on the break menu at McDonald's.
What if this year we went around the table and instead of saying what we're thankful for, we said who we're thankful for? Lincoln Financial helps provide financial security for those who are always there for you. Because this is what you do for people you love. Take charge of your now at LincolnFinancial.com. Lincoln Financial. You're in charge.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
Catch holiday cookie cheer on the tip of your tongue with Dunkin' Donuts holiday cookie flavored coffees, lattes, and macchiatos. Enjoy every sip of the new Snickerdoodle Macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'.
Eagles fans, score a touchdown of your own by downloading the new McDonald's app for some delicious deals on the download. Offers are updated weekly, and you can receive a free sandwich just for downloading the app. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Eagles 360 comes your way Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Macnow. Time now for the Game Plan crew, Mike Quick and Ike Reese, to talk about one of the relics, one of the true Eagles of all time. Brent Celek.
Absolutely.
Had a fantastic game.
Franchise guy.
Catching the football last week. He's been solid all year long.
All right, Mike, progress report takes us to the wily veteran of this team, Brent Celek, tight end, resurfaced this week. And the Dolphins had no idea where to find him. Watch him here on the first play from the offensive series. It's a nice design play. They bring Riley Cooper across in motion.
Yeah.
Dragging the linebacker out there. You got the two receivers up top with a single high coverage. This is going to allow Brent Celek just to sneak in here. And we got confusion down here at the bottom from these defenders. They don't realize Celek has snuck out the back door here.
You get the confusion because they've seen this outside zone run, and that's the play action that they give them, the outside zone run. So the linebacker's really biting hard on that outside zone fake, and he leaves Brent Celek, who should have been covered in man coverage, wide open for an easy throw.
I tell you, the old guy still has some wheels. You know, he can still run. Watch this. This is basically the same play without the motion here. They're going to find a way. Great play fake. You got protection up front.
Yep.
You're going to watch Celek from the end come across again. He's going to settle right behind the linebackers, right in front of the safety. And then Mark Sanchez, I believe, does a great job evading the tackler here and then zipping the ball in there to Celek.
Yeah, you're right. Real nice job by Mark. But notice Brent Celek. He recognizes that it's zone. He's not fully running across the field. He's going to sit down right in that soft window and give an easy throw to his quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Really was a nice job getting the tight ends involved again
yep.
in the game. We saw Brent Celek out in the passing routes. He's a very good blocker as well. Watch him here. This play does a great job picking up the free rusher on the end. This allows Mark Sanchez time to step up in the pocket, and then he finds Zach Ertz across the field, Celek's tight end mate.
Yeah, that was the key block to get Mark Sanchez open to throw the ball. He climbs the pocket, does a nice job of doing that. But Brent Celek, getting back to more of what he's been doing throughout this season, he only caught 7 balls in the first 8 games of the season, but came up big in this one.
Yeah, and his unselfish play has allowed other guys in this offense to flourish. It's the reason why Chip Kelly loves him as a player on this team. The guy's willing to do everything, and when you call on him to catch the ball, he typically makes the catch.
Thanks so much, guys. Glenn, some final thoughts. What are you feeling on this Thursday?
They've been amazing.
Tough game.
They've been amazingly inconsistent all year, and the Miami game was one that there was no way you lose a game when you're up 16-3 against a bad team in the first quarter, but they managed to do it. I think because the Eagles are so inconsistent, they bounce back this week. They do real well this week. We start to feel better about them this week. And I think Mark Sanchez early on, as long as we don't get that, I think is going to be fine and they're going to win.
And 30 first downs.
30 first downs.
21 offensive points.
28 points total.
I
like them this week.
Right. Mamoroso is on the menu. What's in store for you? We've got a great show for you tomorrow. Chris McPherson joins me in studio. We've got Crunch Time with Fletcher Cox. Defensive coordinator Bill Davis and I talk a little bit about Tampa Bay. We've got some key matchups for the Eagles in Tampa Bay. And my final word, my last word with Ted Williams. Sit down with Ted Williams, longtime coach here. Had some scouting reports on Ricky Waters, Karell Buckhalter, Charlie Garner, Deuce Staley, Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy.
And the last man to hit 400.
And that's part of the conversation as well. For Glenn Macnow, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.